TBQ.
Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing well today. You know, it has been 37 years since we lost Elvis Presley. That's a long time, but for many, it seems like yesterday. He was, you know, it's one of those names. Yes, I know there are other Elvises now, but I think there's really still only one Elvis when we think of Elvis. And everybody, you know, when we think of him, we think of his, how, what a wonderful talent he was and how big his life he was and how soon he died. He just died too soon. There's a new book out called Elvis and Ginger, Elvis Presley's fiance and last love finally tells her story. Ginger Alden was his last love, his fiance when he died. And she has written a very beautiful book, actually a very loving book about him that also tells some of his other sides about him. It's a very interesting book for everyone, especially Elvis fans, because it gives an insight into him, his life, their love life. It's a very interesting book, very well written, I must add. And I want to welcome Ginger Alden to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Hi, Shannon. Thank you so much. I'm fine.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is really, as I said, a very loving book. You seem to, obviously, you were going to marry the man, and it was a very beautiful love story in many ways. And although you were only together a little less than a year, you certainly, you know, as I gather this, I think that you two were kind of meant to be, looking at all the facts that led up to it, your father knowing him early on, and your right. sister. Did you feel that way when you were 20 years old, he was 40, 41.
Right.
Did you feel that way at the time that this was meant to be?
You know, I did. I mean, I came to believe so strongly that we were soulmates, and which was one of Elvis's interests and something he started, you know, trying to teach me about. And I had never heard of soulmates, but we shared many things, spiritual interests. We were both from the South, loved good Southern food. You know, I loved motorcycles. I came from a musical family. My mom played mandolin and guitar and piano. And when I grew up, you know, she played a lot of music in our house. And, of course, Elvis, some of his gospel albums. And I spent many evenings standing behind my mom and singing some gospel songs that even Elvis had on his album. But, we had shared a great love, and I wrote down my memories shortly after Elvis passed away for my own personal reasons, just to hold on to them. And I went forward with my life and worked for many, many years, and over the course of that time, there were speculations and exaggerations and some untruths being floated around, you know, and when you're silent, untruths become the truth. So I had my son, who turned 20 this year, and I wanted to get a story out a little bit sooner, but I didn't want to take time away from my son, and I raised him. He went away to college 2 years ago, and at that time, I put together my all my memories, and I'm happy that I did, so now that people can read the truth of my time together with Elvis.
I understand why you took this time. I mean, you know, as you said, you went on with your life, you raised a family, you worked, and now you're looking back on it. It is time to write this story. What do you think that people misconstrued about it? It seems like a very straightforward story to me, yet I do know that there's controversy around it, why you brought it up now, why you waited so long, which, as I said, I fully right. understand. But why is there controversy about such a genuine love story?
I don't know. Controversy necessarily, but I, I didn't want people to think all of a sudden, these many years later, some things you never ever forget, but I was able to put together all of the notes and remember exact sentences that were said at times, and it was just necessary to have out. I mean, there were swirling things by people that I hated touring with him, or we argued all the time about worrying and things like that, and I just wanted to get the truth out. I thought I never once told Elvis that was his livelihood. That's what he did.
Right.
Never once said I didn't want to tour. But just different little untruths pop up here
right,
and there,
sure.
and that you see or you read about, and other biographers will jump on it, and it gets magnified.
Yeah.
Or I was a cause he didn't record at one time in Nashville, and that was a complete untruth. You know, he was ill at the time I was with him, and it was necessary to get these truths out.
He was ill at the time you were with him? I mean, but not through the whole time.
Well, I meant he actually had a sore throat at this
right.
one particular one. He had a recording session in early January in Nashville, and that's why we left. But I've heard, you know, stories that I didn't want to be there, or I told him not to record, and that was just complete fabricated. So that's why I said I had to get the truth out in our relationship here.
Yeah. Now, this as I said, this was a very interesting love story. He swept you off your feet. I mean, certainly he was the king. I mean, it was Elvis. I mean, you know, I was like, you know, how could you be 20 years old and beautiful as you were and still are, and not be just, you know, swept off your feet by him? I mean, he was just amazing, and it was an easy to understand love story, but there was other sides to him as well. But certainly at that time you lived in Memphis and he was the king. Was it instant like that for you? Was this just like just memorizing?
Well, I said, you know, for me, you know, dating Elvis in the beginning, I said it was like running next to a fast moving train and jumping on, and that train wasn't slowing down. But Elvis wanted me to know so much about him in such a short period of time. And we spent, I was fascinated by the fact that he was on a major, major spiritual quest.
Right.
And Elvis loved reading about Eastern philosophy and religion, and we spent hours and hours going over books like The Prophet by Khalil Gibran, and The Impersonal Life, and just, I found that so intriguing, you know. I mean, I'm sitting with a rock and roll icon the very first night I meet him, and he's pointing out, you know, a huge book, and it's about God, and he's talking about all these things, and I think he was always on a search for why his own life had turned out the way it did, why he had become, you know, as you know, important of an entertainer as he was, and he wanted to bring joy to so many people through through his singing and charitable contributions and everything, and he was just a remarkable individual.
And a very generous man. I mean, reading the book, I understand he was a very generous man, generous to you, generous to those around him. I mean, he, and certainly to his daughter. And you mentioned the spiritualness, and I have read negativity about that. Like, oh, he was just not very deep. He was very deep. I mean, he really was something that we look at now, and many of us are into, and the world is more into.
Right.
Back then, it wasn't. Back then, it was almost a negative that he was into things like numerology and spirituality.
Exactly.
But had that gone
on, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. He was thirsty for knowledge, and it was one of the things that was so intriguing, you know, and I felt like I was learning, you know, from him. I never thought about our age difference. I felt like he was more fatherly toward me when he was teaching, and he loved showing me, you know, new things, taking me new places. But sometimes we would be on tour, and, you know, he would often have a dictionary and want someone to you know, ask him about a certain word, and he would try to spell it and give the definition of it. So he was always wanting to grow and learn.
Yeah, which is really, really nice to hear and read and understand about him because, as I said, you know, he died so young that we didn't get to see him as he developed into a person, not just the star that he was. And I'm sure, you know, being that much of a star was a burden on him and slightly a burden on the relationship. And he did have, how do I say this? He certainly did have some awkward moments, and he had a lot of anger. You talk that he had an attraction to guns, and not that he hurt anybody with them, but he sometimes used them inappropriately, right?
Yeah, and you know, Elvis had been doing certain things for a long time, and I tried to write what it was like for me and trying to understand him and hoping to guide him on a better path, you know, with eating habits and other habits that he had. And I think I challenged him. There were times I got a little angry and I left, and he may have been angry when I left, and, you know, we loved each other. We stayed together, but I was trying to say, you know, this isn't right, but I don't think a lot of people, you know, around him years before, I don't think had basically said no often to him or you know, this isn't really a funny thing to do at the time. And, you know, I was hoping that he was, and I do, you know, I was starting to feel that he was understanding, well, Ginger doesn't like this. And so, you know, I had to write about a few incidents, but, you know, 98% of the time, Elvis was a wonderful man and in an upbeat mood, and we had many funny or fun times at Graceland.
Yeah, and Graceland, was that absolutely beautiful? I mean, you know, that has to be a memory. I mean, all of this is just a wonderful memory and a wonderful time in your life, and it certainly shows throughout the book that you loved him, you loved being with him, you know, warts and all, like all of us have, certainly. But was Graceland absolutely magnificent?
Well, I wrote, I said it was like Alice going through the looking glass the first time I took my first steps inside there. And, you know, for me and my sisters, this was in November of 1976 when we were invited up to Graceland. For us, it was like going inside the White House and meeting the president. I had passed by that home many times and you know, such a fixture in Memphis. And it was just amazing. Yes, it looked quite different than the way it looks today. Some of the main rooms, it was decorated in red, plush red carpeting, and it's been, I think now it's in white and blues. But, yeah, it was just amazing when I stepped inside that front door the first time.
And why did you, you know, tell our audience that why did you step inside that front door that first time? Why were you asked to go there, which is a fascinating story?
Well, my sister Terry was Miss Tennessee in 1976, and we received a phone call at our home one evening that Elvis was interested in being the new Miss Tennessee. And my sister Rosemary and I, we were just so excited for her, but, for her to actually go on a date with Elvis, even my sister didn't think that. You know, that was just so unimaginable, and I wrote that only happened in the movies. And we thought, wow, she's finally going to get to go inside Graceland and shake Elvis's hand. And so my sister Rosemary suggested that she and I accompany her. And my sister Terry was all for it. She was nervous about going, so the three of us that evening got to go to Graceland for the very first time.
Wow. And you say that evening. It was late at night. He was pretty nocturnal, wasn't he? I mean, this was not a 6 o'clock dinner or, you know, iced tea sitting on the patio.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were told to be there at 11 o'clock, and we ended up waiting. We were taken on a tour of the house, and it went by very quickly. But at one point, I looked at my watch, and it was like 1 in the morning, and I was like, maybe he's changed his mind. And at that point, we were upstairs in his daughter Lisa's room. Mm. We had taken a tour of the house, and Elvis came walking in, and I just thought he was gorgeous. And I was extremely, extremely shy then. But amazingly, I blurted out hi like I'd known him for years, and he said hi back, and from that night on, we began seeing each other.
Yeah, and he let you know very quickly that he liked you very much. And I also want to add that, as I said, he's nocturnal. That house was buzzing with people and activity at that time of night, right? The phones were ringing.
Yes.
There was people there. There was family.
Yes.
You know, it is. He had kind of switched his life around. I guess maybe being an entertainer does that.
Well,
so the night was the day, and the day was the night.
He took care of so many people. You know, his grandmother lived downstairs, his aunt, one of his aunts, his cousins were playing cards at the table. And Elvis spent a lot of time upstairs, but I had never felt he was depressed or lonely upstairs. You know, I never really sensed that from him because we had many fun times, and his upstairs was like a sanctuary for him. He had an organ in his office up there. He had his daughter's bedroom. He had televisions. You know, he'd call downstairs for, you know, the maids to bring up food to him. And I think he got that from a lot of years being on the road, living in an apartment, you know, I mean, like hotel life. And, you know, I never sensed it bothered him. But we didn't go downstairs that often at Graceland. But as I said, there was an image, you know, I worried that people were thinking of this Howard Hughes-type man, and he was so lonely. And that's not what I sensed at all
No.
when we were together.
No, it didn't seem that way at all. He had a lot of people around him, and certainly he had his other side. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about those last months, that last time, and everything that kind of led up to it. We are talking with Ginger Alden and her new book, Elvis and Ginger. Stay where you are, and we'll be right here in just a few on WTVQ. Tells her story, and it is a great story. It is really a good story. For anybody who's an Elvis fan, which is probably everyone out there, you need to read this book. It's a really nice insight into who he was. And, you know, anybody that famous has lots of stories about him, lots of different things told about him, and certainly, you know, good, bad, indifferent, everything in between. And, you know, Ginger, am I right when I said that he didn't kind of take that stuff too much to heart? I mean, there was a time he said just let that kind of stuff go, and that was his spirituality coming through, that he just didn't pay as much attention to that stuff, the negative.
I wrote about there was a book that had been written by three former bodyguards who had written a book called Elvis, What Happened, and I had no idea who these men were. Elvis tossed out their name to me one evening late in the summer, but he seemed to have come to a place where he had accepted. When he would say if things bother you or untrue, Ginger, just kill it and get it behind you.
Right.
And I think he knew what he had ahead of him. You know, he was getting ready to go on a tour pretty soon. And I never have read the book. I didn't care what they said. I knew it had hurt him at the time, and felt it was wrong what had happened. But I think he had experienced so many things in his life, and there were so many things I was learning through him. And back a minute ago when we were talking about guns, and Elvis would keep a gun by his bedside. But I came to understand one time I believe there were a couple of times some people had come approached him on stage in Las Vegas, and he would tell me the stories about that, and I understood his safety was a concern for him. You know, he was worried about someone kidnapping his daughter, and, you know, to witness these things, and it led me to understand why he felt he needed some protection close by.
No, it's very understandable. And you mentioned his daughter, which you knew her. She was quite young at the time, 9 years old, and adorable, and he was a really good father, wasn't he?
He was. I mean, she had free rein at Graceland. She could stay up late, and she loved, he had purchased a custom-made little golf cart for her with her name on the side, and she loved to ride around the grounds of Graceland on that. And she just had a great time, and Elvis would take my hand and say, let's say goodnight to Lisa, and I wish there had been more time to get to know her better, because she was out more that summer, but she would come on tour a few times and be with us, you know, when Elvis was at home at Graceland occasionally, but you know, she was going to school, so she had to work around that. But she was a sweet, sweet child. She knew she was Elvis's daughter, and like I said, she had free reign at Graceland. But
Your niece became friendly with her, right? And they had sleepovers together. So it was real, and your whole family was really close with Elvis, and he was very good to them, including your niece being friends with Lisa, right?
Well, Elvis had began to take over, you know, take my family along on tours, and my parents didn't have the best relationship, which I wrote about, and Elvis was such a caring, concerned person, and he wanted to help my mom, who was going to go through a divorce at the time, so there was a lot of, unfortunately, some problems I had, some personal problems of my own, but Elvis was so kind and so generous to so many people around him, as I said, you know, I mean, his uncles worked at the gates, you know, cousins lived on the property. Just one of the most big-hearted individuals I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, no, that definitely comes across throughout the book, that he was a really generous soul and a kind soul. And he took things to go to sleep, and you talk about that. He took this sleeping packet. You know, these days, you know, back then you probably didn't look at it so much, didn't question. It was given to him. I did hear you say once, though, that some of it was a placebo, so he wasn't always sure what he was getting. Did you know, and did he know what he was getting at night, and was it sleeping pills or other drugs, or do you not know?
I don't know. I didn't learn until later that he was being given placebos, and this was, you know, one of the things that was disturbing to me. And as I said, I hoped in time I could guide him toward being able to go to sleep. That was the biggest problem I saw with Elvis, and because of the sleep medication that he took, on occasion it could cause mood swings, and I wrote about the events that happened. But again, I didn't want people to think, you know, that wasn't 98% of the relationship, but it was me trying to understand, you know, you look up to doctors, and Elvis had, you know, quite a few doctors, and you're like, they're taking care of Elvis.
Right, Well, why would you question? Yes.
Yeah,
I wouldn't question.
You know, you're older and wiser now,
right.
And you look back on certain things, but, yeah, you know, I probably have questions that I'll have the rest of my life. But,
yeah, at 20, we wouldn't have. I mean, who would? I mean, you know, I certainly understand that. And times were very different then. People didn't talk about those things the way we do now. So, you know, it's just that we weren't as informed. I mean, a doctor was a doctor, and you took what they gave you. You certainly were there when he died. And that was a terrible night for you, obviously one you'll remember forever. And you talk about it in your book. And it was obviously an unpleasant evening.
Well,
yeah. Go ahead.
It was a very, you know, the hardest part to write about in the book. But I had to, as I said, I'd seen, you know, complete fabrications in other books on the day that Elvis died. And I said, for history's sake, I have to get out exactly what I saw. And as difficult as it was, it's just, you know, forever in my mind. And to be descriptive, like I had to be, but I thought this is for the history books here, and, you know, I wanted it to be right, and so at least it's out there instead of some of the garbage that I've seen and completely untrue.
And there was certainly controversy about it afterwards, right, with his doctor. You know, did he give him too much? How did he really die? I mean, I think today there would have been a lot more investigation into it, but 37 years ago we investigated these things a lot less, and, you know, who knows? Certainly he died too young. It was a terrible night. Lisa was there. That was, you know, that was really a tough evening for sure, and tough to write about. But the book itself, you have written a very, as I say, this is a love story to him. I mean, I don't feel any, you know, you look back at this time in your life, I'm sure, with fondness. I mean, you know, you put in some of the more interesting things about his personality and his lifestyle, but all in all, this is a book that I think is a tribute to him, and that you tell it very well. Are you glad you wrote this? Are you glad you wrote the book yet? Yeah. It took you
absolutely. It's been with me for 37 years, yeah. You know, and it feels wonderful. And like I said, some of the events that I felt I had to write about so people could understand me and how I tried to help at certain times, mm-hmm. and what I had hoped to be able to do, which I didn't think was impossible. You know, there just unfortunately wasn't enough time for the two of us. And, you know, I just hope that he would be remembered. You know, he was human. He laughed. He cried. He had good days, bad days, sure. And just be remembered for his beautiful music and his charitable contributions and his deep concern for so many others.
Yeah, and what a good soul he was. You talk about in the book in the very beginning how your son started to realize when he was 7, you know, who's Elvis, and you know, to right. go back through all of that. I mean, you know, you've obviously moved past it. You've raised a family. You're married. You know, all this stuff. To look back on it with this fondness of this part of your life and be able to tell it, I think, is a great gift for all of us to go back and look at this. So you've done a terrific job on this.
Thank you so much, Shannon.
Thank you so much, everyone. We have to wrap it up in just a few minutes, but I just want to tell everyone this is a great book to read. If you're a fan of Elvis, if you love a good love story, you want to take an insight into the man's life in the last year of his life, it's a really interesting story in so many ways. Elvis and Ginger, Elvis Presley's fiance and last love, finally tells her story. Ginger Alden, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for joining us and here on WTBQ. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.